Welcome to the 222 Paranormal Podcast, starring your host, Jen Shortridge, and that guy over there.
It's me.
Joe Shortridge.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm doing awesome.
I don't know why I'm talking in this voice. Just feeling goofy today.
I'm doing amazing.
Amazing. We should create a cocktail called the most amazing cocktail ever, and then people can drink it while they're listening to our show.
Okay.
And every time we say amazing, they can take a drink. I'll come up with a formula, a recipe,
and
I'll post it on her Facebook page.
When we have a live show, we could have a bottle of it sitting on our table.
Yeah.
So people can drink. No, we can't do that. We can do whatever we want. It's our show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll have mom test it out for us, and we'll get her all liquored up.
What's different about that?
Yeah. Oh. Versus any other day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, the funny part is my mom's like 80 something years old and goes to church every day. And she just
goes to holy hour every day.
Yeah. So
we were raised in a very religious family.
We were. I wonder if we're so screwed up.
Yeah.
So what's going on this week, Joseph?
I had a busy, busy week. I actually did some photo shoots.
Awesome.
Yeah. I haven't done photo shoots in a while because of all the stuff that we've been doing with the videos and all that stuff. But I actually had some photo shoots done. I had people come into the studio. I actually had to tear the studio down from our recording.
Oh, nice.
Back to a photo studio.
Yeah, it doesn't look like we ever missed a beat.
Yeah, I threw everything back in here and hooked up all the wiring. And
cool.
Yeah, I did some photo shoots. I did, seeing that it's off-season, and it was just, you know, different people doing model shoots and stuff. I charged them $75, which is...
That's a great price.
Really cheap, yeah, because... You know, I'm a professional. My photo shoots.
A professional?
Yeah, I is a professional.
You got some book learning?
Yeah, I got some book learning, yeah.
Right.
And, you know, I was thinking, if anybody is in the area of Toledo, Ohio, and you want some photo shoots done, let me know. I do everything from pinup to...
Headshots and...
Yeah, headshots for business.
Family portraits.
Yeah, and in the studio here, it's kind of small. I can fit up to 3 people at a time doing a photo shoot. So, hey, if you want a photo shoot, I'm going to offer a 15-minute photo shoot for, what, $50, or like a half hour for $75, and that comes with the editing. It doesn't come with the prints. I'll throw them on a page you guys can steal the pictures from, but it's off-season, so I might as well charge a lot less.
Yeah, why not, you know?
And people can't afford stuff this time of year anyways with Christmas and everything.
Ugh, amen to that. For shiz.
So what's up with you?
Oh, well,
what have you been doing
all week
long?
So this week I've been focusing on some writing and editing. I have this exciting and my stuttering. So I've been editing and working on, I have a new book that I'm working on. It's very exciting. It's a Bigfoot romance novel.
Oh, no.
Yay. So finishing up that. And then I was also getting some more copies of my vampire romance novel. It's called Never Fall for the Forbidden. So I'm going to have some paper copies printed. So if anybody wants them, the next show that we do, we'll, you know, announce, you know, whatever convention or, you know, meeting that we're at. We'll,
yeah,
I'll try to have those for
one
everybody.
One of the things that we're working on is getting our calendar set up for next year. And we're going to be out a lot of shows, so you can pick up Jen's new book and hopefully the new Bigfoot book.
Yeah, hopefully
will be
it'll be done by then.
Yeah.
So
get your butt back there and edit.
I can't wait to get on the road next year. I just want to meet all our friends and fans and just meet some new people.
I don't.
Yes, you do.
I don't want to meet anybody.
You want to meet redheads.
Well, yeah.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hello.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Show topic. Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Do we? I don't know.
Today's show is called Dowsing Rods.
Wait! Clink, clink, clink.
Or should I just say dowsing? Should we just call it dowsing or dowsing rods?
You can call it whatever you want.
Sticks?
Sticks and stones. It's one of those nights in the studio. We've been at this way too long, folks.
Yes. Yes,
okay,
yes.
So why don't
before we go into the dowsing rods,
yes.
Did you want to mention...
No, you do. What do I want to mention?
No, didn't you have a friend that you want to mention?
Oh, yeah. So I just wanted to mention to all our listeners about my dear friend, Kelly Parton. He's an insurance specialist licensed in Michigan and in Ohio, working for Health Markets Insurance Agency.
Yeah, because with Obamacare, it's the law now that everybody has to have health insurance by January 31st. With deductibles and co-pays, it can get confusing and expensive.
Well, the best part is Kelly has thousands of plans to choose from to help you lower your insurance premiums.
Well, what do his consultations cost?
Kelly's services are free.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
How can everybody get a hold of him?
The best way to get a hold of Kelly is to call him direct at 614-589-3726 and just give a mention that you heard about him on our podcast.
Could you give everybody that phone number again?
Sure. Dial direct at area code 614-589-3726 and ask for Kelly.
Oh, that's cool. So, hey, get a hold of him if you guys need any insurance work done, because it's really important this time of year. Remember, that date's coming up soon. So get a hold of him. Okay, so on to our topic today.
Yes, this is an exciting topic.
Dowsing rods. What are they? Why are they? Who are they? Do they like us? Do we like them?
You don't use them as chopsticks, though.
Oh, well, you know, as much as I eat, you should. So, can I use them to find food?
I need some food right about now. I'm getting pretty hungry. Okay, so dowsing is the action of a person called the dowser who uses a rod or a stick or uses an object hung from a string. They're normally called a dowsing rod, a dowsing stick, or when finding or trying to locate oil, it's called a doodle bug.
Doodle bug.
A divining rod or a pendulum. So a pendulum is what hangs from a string, but anytime you use a rod or a stick, it's dowsing.
And until we were talking before the show, I didn't even know they had dowsing as a pendulum. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah. So you use it to locate things such as water, hidden metal, buried treasure, oil, lost persons, golf balls, whatever you're looking
golf
for.
Balls.
So it's considered to be a type of divination.
Divination.
I cannot listen. I can't pronounce that any word ever.
Oh, wait till you. I start reading the history here next. Some of these words are like la 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 la.
So it's not based on any scientific or imperial laws or forces of nature. It's more divination. I think I got it right that time.
That's possible.
Okay. So why don't you tell us a little bit about the history of dowsing?
The history is actually pretty interesting because there's actual, and I didn't know this either. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of funny because until we started talking about this, I completely forgot about the dowsing sticks, which is like a Y-shaped stick that people use or just, and that's the one that I used to see years ago. I never thought it. And
mm-hmm. Like a tree branch that just is in the shape of a Y.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And it didn't dawn on me talking about dowsing rods and then dowsing itself. And they've actually found cave drawings, on caves, that when they did the carbon dating on them, found that they were at least 8,000 years old.
Oh, my gosh.
So this has been around
8,000
years that they know of.
Wow.
And there's even accounts in the Bible that I'll talk about here in a little bit. But
which is only, what, like 2,000 years old?
Mm-hmm.
So this is going back 6,000 years before the Bible.
Yeah.
Wow.
Cave drawings. And if you looked up, you'll find it online. There's actually, I'm looking at, in my notes here, I'm looking at the picture, and it shows two people, and one guy clearly has a dowsing stick.
Cool.
It's not the rods, it's the Y-shaped stick in his hand. Even back in Egypt and the Middle East, 4,000-year-old temple walls have depictions of dowsing.
Wow.
So 4,000, I'm moving up in time here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to attempt to read this name of this.
Go for it. Let me try. Go ahead. I want to hear it.
Let's see. Dowsing tools. Oh, the Cairo Museum. Okay. I was looking at the different thing here. But yeah. Let's see here. Have been removed from 1,000-year-old tombs. So even in 1,000-year-old tombs, they've been finding dowsing rods.
It's so
awesome. China, there's an etching of the Chinese Emperor Yu.
Yu?
Yeah, it just says Yu. Who? Ruled China, yoo-hoo, ruled China 2,500 years ago. In his hands, he holds a rather bulky, but another description or depiction.
So it's interesting that different cultures that are thousands of miles, all around the world use these.
Yeah.
Wow. That's cool.
Okay. Great example. You see the cave drawings and I don't see in my notes here where the caves were located, but anyhow, China and Egypt and just amazes me how far back they actually found.
8,000 years.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
All the way up. And it goes in my notes here. I go through different years and that. But back in the 1400s, dowsing was, as we think of it today, was called, here we go, Virgula Divine. So Virgin Divine, I don't know.
We'll just go with that.
Which is the Latin meaning of the rod.
Mm-hmm.
And in Germany, during the same period, the dowsing devices were oh, wow. I should have read this before. But anyhow, not trying to say it. But it, like we said, cross-culture of using these dowsing techniques to find different things. I mean, you can find, like we said, water, people. And back then, they were looking mainly for water, for life, people.
And, you know, in more recent times, they're also using these to find underground water, buried bombs, and even vibrations from microbes in test tubes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Using dowsing rod. And, of course, we use them for our ghost adventures.
Yep.
You know, like in 1749 in the Mayan dictionary, they had references to it. So they were using them back in mines to find natural metals, jewels,
nice. Really everything. Diamonds.
Yeah. And even in 1912, you know, I mentioned 1747 mining dictionary, but even 1912 in England, the Mining Magazine published a first translation of the Latin opus into English. It was called On Metals and praised the use of dowsing rods.
When you and I went to Chicago, we went on a ghost tour with some awesome people from Chicago, and they had a set, and they called, you know, for volunteers and if anybody wanted to try it. And I went, I'm like, okay, I'm going to try it. So I get up there and take them into our hands. So if you haven't seen them, they're normally L-shaped, so they'll fit like maybe the length of your palm and then extend out. This is the, you know, two sets, so you have one in each hand. And it was so interesting because he's like, okay, show me how to hold them. And I'll go into a little bit more of how to use them here in a minute. But it was cool because he was asking questions and I was trying my best just to hold still, hold my arms to my side, don't make any movements or jerks or anything. And as he asked the questions, you could feel them, the vibration in it, moving them and crossing them or uncrossing them or spinning around. It was really, really cool.
That was the first time I've ever used them.
Okay. How did you feel? Like, did you feel energy?
Yeah. Yeah, like a tingling sensation.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting because the group that we were with, instead of using all the modern equipment, he gave us the dowsing rods, a notepad and pencils. And it's kind of cool because it's getting back to the grassroots of ghost investigation.
Like what they've been doing for 8,000 years.
Yeah.
You know, not using and relying on electronics, but just your natural senses.
Yeah, because that's more.
And the natural magnetic fields from the earth.
And there were other people in the group that it was their first time they've ever done any kind of investigation or ghost hunting, basically. And the person was holding them, and I was asking questions, and I'd say, move this rod for yes and this rod for no, or are you here? If you're here, please cross both of them. If you're here, move this one out this way. And we were like carrying on a conversation, and of course, I'm so awesome that everybody was looking at me going, oh, he's talking to spirits. But
ghost whisper.
Yes. It was a ghost whisper.
Whisper.
Okay. The ghost whispered to me and said, Joe, you're amazing. But it was the first time I ever used them. And it was really neat because you did feel that tingling. And of course, I was trying to hold it real tight to my body and be real stiff so that I didn't move them. But when you use dowsing rods, you don't hold them that stiff to your body. Right. You just hold them out a little bit, mm-hmm. like maybe a foot out from your body. Yeah. And so let that.
Yeah. So, you know, to use dowsing or divining rods. Okay. So first, you can use any type of natural item as a dowsing or a divining rod, such as a tree branch or sticks. Some people use forked sticks from willow, peach, or witch hazel trees.
I heard that because they're more flexible.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you can use a coat hanger. You could use two wire rods, or you could use like a pendulum. But what we normally will use is the L-shaped rods, yeah. one in each hand. And
do you know the best ones to use?
What's that? Which ones?
Are the ones that we have for sale.
Yes!
No, if you come to our event, please buy dowsing rods. It pays for gasoline for our cars. No.
Yeah, for my snacks.
Yeah, but anyhow, go ahead.
We'll go back into that in a little bit. Okay, so what you want to do is you want to hold the rods an arm's length away from your body. And you should hold them in each hand. And position the rods so they rest flat over your index fingers, and then let the butt of the handle rest into your hands. Now, some of them have, you're just touching the rod itself, but like the ones we used had almost like a round casing.
Yeah, they have a handle.
Yeah, like a handle. It was like
and some
copper,
of them, some I of think. Them even have beads and skull beads, little skull
oh, they're really
beads
cute,
that are really cool.
Like the ones we have yeah. for sale.
Okay.
So if you really want a set, just... Inbox us. We'll sell you a set. So you want to hold the rods so they float freely. So don't hold them, you know, grip them extremely tight in your hand. Just loosely let them lay there, the long end extending out. Now you want to hold them about 9 inches apart so they don't cross or collide with each other. So just practice a few times so you get comfortable with it. And then if you're using one stick that's forked, so like the Y shape, you want to just mm-hmm. extend your arm straight out and then just hold it loosely right directly in front of you. And then if you're just trying to find oil or water or minerals, just be cautious when you're stepping. You know, you're watching the sticks, but just know where you're walking so, you know, you don't trip and fall and break your nose.
Or twist your ankle like I did so many times. Which, by the way, I'm 2 days pain-free. Woo-hoo! I have not felt, of course, I've been laying in the middle of the living room so I don't trip over anything, but go ahead.
Okay, so you want to hold the rods at arm's length and walk slowly back and forth across the room or the area that you're trying to use with. Don't let the rod tip go upward or downward as you move. You don't want to unintentionally move the rods with the force of your body or your arms. So... like when Joe was using them, he had them gripped very tight close to his chest. So you kind of just want to extend your arms out. And I know your arms get a little tired after doing that. So, you know, feel free to take a break and shake it off a little bit every once in a while. You don't want to just be doing it and wearing yourself out.
And that's where when I did them, like I said, it was the first time I've ever done it. And I kept telling myself, I don't want to be... involuntary motor movement because I was thinking watching these rods being used, I'm thinking, well, it's obvious that people are tilting them to make them turn.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I'm going to hold it as stiff as I can, but that's not the proper way. Mm-hmm. Just relax.
Yeah.
Relax, yep. Hold them out, but make sure that they stay straight, not that you tip them.
Right. Cause sometimes you'll be looking at them and as you're looking, you know, holding your, and you're looking, you've feel like your shoulders going forward. So, you know, you just be conscious of that.
Okay.
And then there's another method. So when you're trying to find bodies of water or underground water, you want to hold the rod steady in your hand and you want to make sure that, you know, they're not tipped up and down 9 inches apart at a 45 degree angle. And so you want to kind of walk around the area. And when water dowsers are called to locate water in certain areas, like a rural area or a suburban community, you should always hold the rods properly and then walk back and forth slowly over the area that you're testing for water. Make sure the rods are lightly held so that when they do cross or move, you'll know that you're detecting water in that area. And it may also, they say, help to visualize the water under the earth in the area like a stream or a body of water, and it helps let the rods know what you're looking for. So you kind of want to visualize, like we're asking questions for ghosts, you know, or spirits.
You're sending out that energy into the universe of what you're looking for so that the universe knows what you're looking for.
Right, and to come close to, you know, sometimes like when we're doing investigations, we will explain what we have and what we're using because, you know, some of these spirits may have not been around, you know, when you're using like an electro, you know, EMF detector. Now, dowsing rods have been around forever. And, you know, maybe everybody knows what they are and even the people that passed on. But it's still good to just reassure the spirits that you're not harmful.
Yeah.
And that you're just using it to communicate. And it's a very simple way to communicate. And it probably takes a lot less of their energy to manipulate these than it does, say, maybe a digital recorder or a K2 meter.
I was exactly thinking the same thing.
Okay, so here's another method. Okay, when you're trying to find a lost object, visualize the object that you lost in your mind. Ask the rods to lead you to the object. You can ask it out loud or internally. And you say, where is the object that I have lost, or find the object. And this will project this into the rods. And then let the rods lead you to wherever, whatever you're looking for. I think I'm, you know what? Oh, Joe, you know what I'm going to use these for? I'm going to use them to find me a husband.
There you go.
Where's my man? Where's my man? Where's my man? My future husband. Where's my big diner ring? Okay. Anyways.
Yep.
All right. And then here's another way. This is the third way that you can use it. You can use these to determine energy of an area or a room.
Okay.
So you want to visualize the energy in the area or the room, and you can use the rods to test how much positive and negative energy are known in the room, or maybe the chai, or, you know, like
chi.
Chai. Chai of an onion. I don't know. Okay. So
that's all right.
You just
get chive turkey.
Settle down now. Okay, so just they say to try to picture an energy path that flows through the entire room or the area. And don't worry if you're not able to do it. The rods will help determine where the energy is flowing in the room. So, you know, maybe if you're in the corner and I'm in a different corner, you know, there may be just different levels of energy at each point.
You know, that makes me think of, we were talking about Sedona. Do you remember we went to the vortexes?
Yeah.
And we didn't really exactly know where they were at. I mean, maybe next time we go, we could take the dowsing rods.
We should definitely do that.
That would be something for energy.
That would be a great.
I just thought of that.
That's awesome.
See, I am awesome.
Well, we didn't know a lot about, you know, when Joe and I went to Sedona, you know, we knew about ghost hunting, but we had no idea about vortexes and ley lines. And
And when we got there, everybody was talking about it.
That would be so cool.
So that's. We'll put that on the notes to
Back to the bucket list.
Yeah.
I don't know if any of the listeners have been to Sedona, but it's a really, really magical place. I mean, just the beauty, the energy, and up by the airport.
Yep.
Okay, so up by the airport, there's an actual vortex. And Joe and I climbed over, not literally on mountains to try to find this. It was so scary because I have fear of heights. So we're up there, and we climbed to the highest point that we could, you know, climb in that area. And I sat on the edge of a mountain. And I was like, I think that's a pretty big feat for somebody who's scared of heights
and
bridges.
It was really cool because we found a lot of twisted trees. And they said that in the vortexes, there's, the trees grow in a twist because of the magnetic fields in the air and stuff. So I think we were there, but this is a great idea. That just popped in my head when we were talking about energy to find positive and negative energy, use your dowsing rods.
Yeah. And then do you remember the picture that I got that you took, and I was on the trail and there's like this beam of light coming out of the ground? It was it was interesting because it wasn't a sun beam.
It wasn't a
because there was sun all over.
Yeah.
But it was just in this one particular spot. I'll have to put it on the page and people can.
It wasn't lens flare because the sun, I believe, was behind us because you can see our shadows. So if it was lens flare, it would be in the light, or the sun would have been in front of us.
Right. And it was behind me. And I was like, cool. Was that a vortex? Was that just a beam of energy? Was it an angel?
It's a very hot place for things to happen. Yeah. Sedona.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to ask you. You mentioned something about the pendulums. Does it in your instructions there? Does it say anything about the pendulums?
You know what? You can use the pendulums just like you would use the dowsing rods. But what you would do is you would normally have a crystal, okay. And it's a blessed crystal. And I remember we went to the Gill House.
No, I'm thinking for dowsing, not for spirit talking. But I thought earlier when we were reading our research, you mentioned something about using it over a map.
Oh, yes. So,
because I've never heard of the technique of using a pendulum for dowsing. So I just thought I'd bring that up. And if you don't have the notes there, that's all right.
Well, it was just saying that you could take that pendulum and put it over a map and then concentrate on what you want to find, whether it's like gold or water or a person, and it will move to the point on the map.
Okay. Yeah, that's weird. Because you think of a pendulum hanging straight down.
Right.
So.
But the energy will move it.
Yeah, I've never heard of it. That's why I wanted to bring it up. And we'll have to look into that. I'll look into that more because it's interesting to me. But we did use, at the ghost hunt, she used a pendulum to talk to the spirits. That's a little different.
Yeah. But it was just, I want to say amazed, but I was amazed because just the responses. Mm-hmm. That you would get, and it was just, you could see her hand was not moving.
I watched really close to make sure that she wasn't moving, and it's like we just said a few minutes ago about maybe it's easier for the spirits to communicate through those because it's not an electronic device, and they're maybe, I want to say, used to it, but it's something they recognize.
Yeah.
You know, even going back to the history of it, in 1960s during the Vietnam War, some of the United States Marines used dowsing rods to attempt to locate weapons and tunnels. Like you said earlier, that it's used for detecting weapons or biological stuff like that. And also in 1986, there were 31 soldiers that were doing a NATO drill. And they actually got caught in a avalanche in Norway.
Oh, my gosh.
And the Norwegian army attempted to locate the soldiers using dowsing rods.
That is too cool.
You know, so it's, of course, we're using them now for ghost hunting, but like we said, over 8,000 years now, they're still using them.
Yeah, so there has to be something to it. It's just not a flash in the pan,
you know? Of course, there's fakes out there, too.
Yeah, I was reading this story. This was kind of funny.
And that's why I brought up the military, because I want you to talk about the devices.
Okay, so, you know, some people, and I just think it's hilarious. So they created these plastic boxes with an antenna, and they sold them to the Iraqi security forces. Despite the warnings of the U.S. government, the devices were completely useless. Iraqi officials bought 800 of the devices for $32 million. And then they spent another $53 million on a larger quantity. They paid up to $60,000 apiece for the handheld wands. And they purchased another 100 detection devices. So, you know, it's like here they're spending money on this electronic box that somebody created, and they could just use these natural things that their ancestors have used for years and years and years to just pick up two pieces of metal and you know,
so
save $53 million.
If there's anybody listening in the government and you're interested in purchasing dowsing rods, we sell dowsing rods.
$60,000 a piece.
Yeah.
I could pay my house off
and
my car.
If you come to a show, get lipo. If you come to a show, you can get one at a discount price.
$50,000. Sure, why not?
Okay.
But here's another one. This is the Mexican and Thai armies had bought some rods they thought they could detect drugs with.
Okay.
And then the Thailand thought they could detect bombs. So, you know, people are still using these to this day.
And, you know, we joke about it. And of people buying these devices, but it all comes back to, like, we're using them nowadays for ghost investigations, and people are still, I mean, there's groups.
And anybody can use them, you know, it's like, you don't.
That's what's nice about it.
Kids or, you know, whoever. you don't have to spend money on a K2 meter or a REM pod, mm-hmm. or, you know, you can just...
You could just spend $20 and buy a set.
Buy it from us.
From us with skulls on them.
Yeah, they're cool.
And
they come with an instruction, so, you know, you get it and you'll be able to jump right into it.
If you're at a show and you see us, ask us. I'll show you how to use them.
Yeah, we'll give you a demonstration.
Simple. That's what's so nice. Like we said, they're simple to use. Mm-hmm. And
fun. I think it's really, really fun.
Yeah.
You know, just yes or no it questions. Are you here?
Yeah.
I liked it. I thought it was interesting because it was one of the first times that, I was able to, here's evidence that I used. Mm-hmm. And I knew that, okay, I didn't move these rods and it's answering my questions.
Yeah. So. And, you know, like I mentioned a few times, is how I was like, I'm not going to move them. And even though I'm thinking that, they were crossing or one was moving. And
so
it's so interesting.
You know what we should do? We should take I have a metal detector. Let's take my metal detector and let's take dowsing rods. Okay. And I'll put something out in my yard. I'll hide something in my yard. And then you can try it and see which one you find it quicker with.
Plus, it'd be good practice for us.
Yeah. That'd be fun.
You know what we should do is after our listeners buy some dowsing rods from us, we should have little challenges.
Yeah.
And
tape it and put it on our page.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's an idea. Yeah. It's something to do that's fun.
Yeah. Maybe we'll find some lost treasures.
It's sort of like the big thing a few years ago was called geocaching.
What's that?
And it's where when people were getting the handheld GPS devices, and I think they still do it, but people hide trinkets and little notebooks all over, and it's called geocaching, and you actually take your GPS meter and you go to these locations, and it's to a location.
Modern day treasure hunting.
Exactly, and there'll be like a little car hidden in a tree stump, and there'll be a notebook next to it, so you write your name down, and there's a little GPS coordinate.
Okay.
Where to go next?
Oh, fun!
So we could do that without
like a scavenger hunt.
Exactly.
Oh, I always loved that was so much fun. You have a slumber party, and then like you have a list, and you go out with like, you know, break up into groups of five and go out of the neighbor's house looking for a safety pin or a bobby pin or this, that, and the other. Awesome.
Yeah. And like I said, there's actually groups out there that will get together and go dowsing. There's individuals that do it for fun, like we were just talking.
But they actually have like set up groups that...
like dowsing clubs.
Oh, fun.
And I don't have anything wrote down where to find the clubs, but...
Let's start one.
We could.
Let's do it.
The 222 Paranormal Dowsing Club.
I love it. I'm all for it.
All right, let's do it.
Okay, wait till the spring, people. We're all going to have a meetup. We'll have a meetup.
A dowsing rod meetup.
Awesome. So buy your dowsing rods from us. Practice, and then in March, or you know, when the weather breaks, we'll announce it and we'll have a meetup.
That's kind of cool too, because if they all buy them from us, they all have matching ones, except, you know, I mean, there's different cool. The beads have different colors on them, but it's our own club.
Yeah,
it's a club.
It'll be VIP.
Yeah. And there's several books that you can find either on audible.com or the library. I'm not going to read the description of these books, but there's some. It's called How We Started Our New Dowsing Chapter by Mark Petty, P-E-D-I. You've got Helpful Books from the Beginner Dowser by Mark again. Or Mary. I'm sorry. Was that Mary?
I don't
know. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I said Mark, but it's Mary Petty, P-E-D-I.
Cool.
So, two books. And... if I go through this list, I bet you it's the same author. Nope, it's different. Okay. Dowsing to Get Rid of Bad Habits.
Oh.
Okay. That's something I might read this book myself. Yeah. By Margaret, and I'm going to spell the last name because I cannot say it. It's VanLaanMartin. So Margaret Van Lan Martin. Interesting. So the name of her book is Dowsing to Get Rid of Bad Habits.
I like that.
Yeah, that's something I might have
positive to energy.
Exactly. A book by Linda Rosenbaum. So Linda Rosenbaum wrote a book called Dowsing for ADD and ADHD.
Oh, wow.
Which is you know, you want to take care of that. And you can also take care of that by getting genetic testing done, because that's very important. Oh, sorry. this book is called Focus, Getting There First. It's a dowsing rod book by Jeanette Lucas. And I'll just name off a couple more here in my list. And maybe that is the last one I have wrote down here. And so, yeah, go to the library, go to audible.com, and, oh, here's a book, How to Dowse, written by, okay, this has got to be a fake name, written by Super User. So anyways, there's, like I said, there's books out there, sure, and you can either go to your library or go to audible.com, where you can put in the promo code 222PP pretty soon, but not yet.
All right. Great. So yeah, if anybody is interested, please just inbox us and we will contact, you know, give you all the information. Yeah. If you want to buy some from us, we will, we'll work something out.
Yeah. I mean, we can mail them anywhere in the country, or even to Britain or anywhere.
Yeah. All our friends over in across the pond.
Yeah. It's like we were saying why we want to do this show, because we found it really interesting, and there's a simple device that anybody can use, and they don't cost a lot of money. They're only from us. $20.
Yeah, can't beat that.
And they work.
And we'll send you a free sticker if you buy some.
I'll send a few stickers.
All right.
Which ones do they want?
All right. Well, let's wrap it up. Okay. Got any shout-outs today?
I do. I want to shout out to Mount Vernon Paranormal Society in Central Ohio. They're our group of the week.
Yay! Our paranormal group of the week.
Which is something I just made up. But I went on their Facebook page, and they look like an awesome group. They're in Central Ohio. They do, you know, private investigations or anything.
Yeah, so if you're in need and you're in the area, look them up on Facebook or on the web.
Yeah. Their name is the Mount Vernon Paranormal Society in Central Ohio.
All right, folks.
Do you have any shout-outs you want to give out?
I don't have any today, but I just want to remind everybody to go to our YouTube channel and subscribe. And also, if you are listening to us on a podcast, you can always find us on iTunes, Google Play, TuneIn, Stitcher Radio, and anywhere else that you get your podcast from, especially
iHeartRadio.
iHeartRadio.
We're proud to be family members of iHeartRadio now. But really, anywhere that you get your podcast from, just leave us a positive rating review.
Yep.
You know, it means a lot to us. And with that, we want to say goodbye and thank you for
listening.
Until
next time, lovers.
Yeah. And like we said, if you have any questions, just hook us up on Facebook. All right. Thanks a lot.
Peace.
We'll talk to you later.
All right.